Welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast, covering the worst movies you've never seen. Go to our website, badmovienightpodcast.com, to watch our show and listen to other episodes of our podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to Bad Movie Night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. My name's Chris, and I'm going to be your host as we talk about the 1991 sci-fi movie Neon City.
Vanity, Lyle Alzado, and Michael Ironside. Neon City.
Tonight on the show is AJ, Rebecca, Aaron, Todd. How are you guys doing?
Great, man.
Not too bad. How about you?
So, movie follows Michael Ironside as a bounty hunter who becomes an unlikely hero who has to save a bunch of people as they travel through a treacherous terrain to the sanctuary city, the Neon City. Along the way, they battle mutants, skins people, and sunshine.
Don't forget about toxic gas.
Oh, yes. The toxic gas. And that's about it, right?
I think so. Hot tubs.
Hot tubs. AJ, what'd you think of Neon City?
I don't know what I think about this movie. It's all over the place. I mean, we're talking classic Mad Max.
I don't know what I think
about it. Mad Max ripoff, right? It even says it actually on IMDb under the synopsis, Mad Max ripoff.
Sort of.
Sort of.
It doesn't really feel like Mad Max, though, does it?
It felt more like...
Yes and no.
It felt more like... I don't know what it felt like. It's like an adventure movie. They're on the road.
You know that movie with the guy from Married with Children?
Snowpiercer?
Dutch. You ever seen the movie Dutch?
Yeah,
no, I don't think so.
No.
That's what this movie felt like to me.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I'm telling you, does it?
Why?
I don't know, because it's like they're driving through this like Pittsburgh-looking snow area in an old car. That's kind of like what this movie is.
driving through Central PA to the safe haven city of Pittsburgh.
So this is like a vacation movie?
Yeah, sort of. Rebecca, what did you think?
I thought it had potential starting out, and then it just kind of lost me as it kept going. It got really long in places, and I don't know, some of the special effects were pretty good, some of the like fight scenes and chase scenes, but overall not so great.
Aaron, what did you think of Neon City?
So I'm going to kind of go against what AJ said. There were parts of this movie that captured a Mad Max feel, like some of the fight scenes. But overall, it really felt like a bunch of different movies. Like some parts I was thinking like Home Alone, or there was all these weird comedy scenes that weren't funny. I don't know what this was.
Todd?
I thought it was poorly executed. That's the shortest I can put it. I agree that some of the chase scenes were cool. I agree that some of the fights were cool. But the story needed a lot of work, and If what they're going to be good at is chase scenes and fight scenes, they needed to have more of it. It was a lot of boring, separated by short bursts of cool action and well executed filming.
Yeah, I thought the concept of like the whole world building aspects they had in the movie with the bright and that fog cloud and all like the climate. How the climate's been fucked up, so now the world is really dangerous outside Neon City. I thought that was a cool idea, but most of the time the execution on those ideas was pretty terrible. And my main problem with the movie is I struggle to understand who the antagonist is in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there doesn't necessarily have to be one, but it was kind of nice how it switched around a little bit as you went. You know who at least one of them was.
Only so at like, the end.
No, not only at the end. You knew.
There were hints all the way.
There was a little bit of hints
even
dropped.
A little bit of hint.
A tiny hint.
Straight up killed the doctor.
Like, I got a little bit of a taste of a hint. A little taste.
But that was the only...
And the
killed the
comedian
magician.
Guy, too. Yeah.
And wasn't there a scene at the beginning with him putting the glasses on and like pretending to be the doctor? Like,
yeah.
Wasn't that
that's,
a red
yeah,
flag?
That's what I'm talking about, because that was right at the beginning.
And well, everyone was paying attention.
All he said was like, maybe, maybe not. And then the doctor's dead.
So this movie is like if like some ugly family filmed their road trip through like Arkansas or something. It's just like,
yeah.
It was like some terrible, like they're all in his RV driving along, and then something happens.
It's like that and movie it's always, RV.
It's always really bad.
So it's Oregon Trail.
The action sequences were good though. When Michael Ironsides had a gun, and he was like, when they would get out of the RV, and they'd go into a building, that was like a completely different movie.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it was a movie I wanted to see.
Well, and the car chase scenes too were pretty cool.
Some of them, yeah, but I felt like they did like three or four of them, and they just kind of all meshed together.
Yeah, they cut corners on them pretty hard. I mean, let's be thankful though. At least we had Michael Ironside starring in this. We could have had Joe Bob Dirt or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Michael Ironside is pretty solid. Watched,
yeah, I mean, we had a solid actor.
Where does Ironside's rank? You know. Arnold.
All right. Well, I don't think he's in that category.
Maybe
like
he
in
ranks
a different league.
Yeah, in like a villain category for those kind of movies.
Yeah, I'd put him more in like the sci-fi.
Okay.
Like Lance
Gary
Hendrickson.
Busey. Gary Busey, yeah. Lance Henriksen, Michael Ironsides.
Lance Henriksen could be in that.
Gary Busey, other than Predator, what?
Oh, Gary Busey's in so many. He's in Lethal Weapon as the bad guy.
I mean, if you're talking villains, though, Gary Busey wins that.
Hans Gruber, from Die
Hans
Hard.
Hans Gruber. Alan Rickman.
You know, Professor Snape.
What?
The hell's his name?
Alan Rickman,
yeah. He's a pretty good bad guy.
What about the dude from Passenger 57?
Ironsides is way better than that guy.
Yeah, okay. Great.
So, the movie takes place in 2053, right?
Yeah.
And we are to understand that Neon City is the only safe place left to live that is free from these climate disasters?
They didn't really make that apparent, I don't think.
I mean, it's a pretty believable future, though, don't you think?
Besides the Xander clouds, I didn't really get what the Xander clouds were. The bright is remotely believable. Like, that could totally happen if you start destroying the only thing that protects us from the sun's rays. Like, that, I could see that happening. But I didn't really get what the Xander cloud was.
Yeah, they didn't explain that.
It was just like a smog cloud that would, like, kill people. And I'm not sure how you died from it, but... Radioactive cloud.
Highly radioactive.
Wow. Yeah, I was confused by why it's like sticks together in such a small area.
They should have gave some explanation to what that was, even just like a couple lines.
There was so many things like that though in the movie. Like they would reference things. Like they referenced, okay, you had the bright, you had the Xander cloud, you had what the hell was it? The guy doing, like, he was, like, dropping eye drops of some drug into his eye for, like, one scene. They made it seem like it was going to be a big point in the movie.
And the bye-bye bags.
The bye-bye bags.
Oh, yeah. The guy in the cave.
Yeah, Rebecca, what's the bye-bye bags?
Well, that was what they gave to a mutant that they found at a rest stop. And I guess then he was going to use that to kill himself and his family. It was, like, a little vial of stuff. And he was so thankful to get this bag, but it seemed as if they didn't fully explain it, that it was going to be a way for them to commit suicide.
Yeah.
I didn't think, when I was watching that, I didn't think they knew what it was. You guys all acted like they just knew it was poison and they were going to all die. I didn't think at the time they knew what it was. I thought they thought it was like food or something. Not food, but you know what I mean? Like medicine, like here we got some. They got caught out in the bright. Here's some medicine. I don't know that they knew it was something to commit suicide with.
Is that why they're mutants? Because they were caught out in the bright.
That's what they said. Yeah, they got caught out in the bright because
they had like these like scaly looking skin and everything.
Boils.
They're like the Hills Have Eyes people.
Yeah, I would just scratch that all day long. I got poison ivy on my leg, and that's all I do is sit here and scratch it.
But I don't understand why they were so bad off when the guy at that in was a mutant also, and he was fine.
Maybe you can be a different kind of mutant.
Somebody asked that though. Somebody said, why did you treat him like that? And their answer was something vague, like some of the mutants are bad and some of the mutants are good, and that was it.
Yeah.
That's all they really covered on it.
Huh.
Maybe there's like a degree of mutantism.
Yeah, I mean, those people were, they were nasty. Like, they weren't coming back. You know what I'm saying? They were like, they were just like falling apart. Like, I think they were just dying.
Those bye-bye bag things? The magician had those, right?
Yeah.
How did Ironside know that he had that in his case?
I think Ironside knew what it... No, I think he knew... I think he knew what it... I think he knew what it meant to be a magician. Like, I think everybody who's a magician and a com...
I think Ironside is Jesus.
I like
you're
that.
You're just laughing. You're just laughing. You're not listening.
I'm sorry.
I think everybody that's a comedian or a magician like that, like that's why they are a comedian or a magician, because they sell bye-bye bags and that's like their shtick. They got to be all happy because they're literally selling death.
And they make them disappear.
I think Ironside knew that. So when he saw a magician, he's like, oh, it's not really a magician. It's just a dude selling bye-bye bags that's fucking crazy because all he does is kill people.
Well, wouldn't it make sense for him just to be like a drug dealer then and not a magician?
I think it's like Chris used the term world building before. I think it's an element of the world building for this place. I think it's just a known thing that people who sell bye-bye bags are like comedians or magicians, or they do something to cover it so that they don't have to walk around and just be people who sell high-dose barbiturates to kill people.
Well, there's no law, though, outside of Neon City, right? It's like...
it's a lawless land.
But in Neon City, it's very strict because they were talking about the one lady had a mutant baby, so they sterilized her and everything.
Well, there seems to be all kinds of different levels of law because you had, like, the bounty hunters, you had, like, the sheriff, and then you had, like, the army, and, like, I wasn't... clear on like what people,
yeah, there was totally
stood, you know,
there was totally a sheriff in the beginning.
Yeah,
well, and Stark had been some sort of police officer.
Yes,
because they reference that when they're at that when he meets the sheriff, when he talks to the sheriff.
They do.
They called him the Rangers, and there were a couple characters that were previous Rangers.
What?
Because Michael Ironside was one of them. But the sheriff in the beginning was one of them. The driver of the van was one of them. And the captain at the end was one of them.
They all have history together.
Exactly. I feel like they all knew each other previously.
That's because they all slept with Ironside's wife.
Poor.
I don't know how to respond to that. The writer of the movie probably like made a whiteboard of all these aspects of this world, but then... that was it. He never actually wrote a story for the fucking movie.
It really was. It seems like that. Well, that's exactly what it seems like. I made the comment while we were watching. It seems like nobody ever considered this movie for longer than 5 minutes at a time. Because they try and link these things together in little consumable chunks, but there are no sweeping arcs for the entire movie.
Speaking of consumable chunks... there's a scene where they go inside a warehouse and they find the Skins, which is the gang that, you know, lives in, this, in the wasteland.
Right?
Yeah. And they find a lady and it looks like they've been eating her fingers.
Well, they ate her finger because she had a ring on it. And that was the only way to get that ring.
Oh, okay.
Because that was ring that he got back from that Skin during the...
and I guess we should mention that's the one guy's sister, right?
Yeah, the driver.
Yeah, that's
I thought they were doing bath salts
or
something.
That is a perfect example of achievable of consumable chunks. You find out that this dude has a sister. That doesn't matter at all. That doesn't matter at all. Then you find out, oh, they bit her finger off because it had a ring on it. All right, still, doesn't really matter. Then, at the very end of the car chase... when the dude hops in the passenger side door, oh, it just so happens to be the dude that has his sister's ring. Like, yeah, they tied it back full circle, but it's three stupid little chunks that didn't even need to be in the movie.
It's in the future, and people are cannibals, right?
Yeah.
It's like a finger, like a chicken wing. Like, is that like an equivalent to a chicken wing in the future?
Well, I think it's just something you can chew on very quickly.
Well, like a chicken wing.
When you're desperate and hungry, you know?
I don't think they're cannibals. Why do you think they're cannibals?
That was the only part that had cannibalism at all.
But they go to that rest stop at one point, and it's like they're eating dogs. So it's not
no,
too much
the
of a
water
leap to...
was bad, and the dogs died. They drank
so they
the water.
Them.
I don't think they were eaten. I think they were just like dead. And
oh, I thought I heard a reference to them eating dogs. I don't know.
Well,
I just
that
think
was
in the
very
future...
that was the very beginning of the movie.
Would you eat people in the future, Todd?
Why would I have to eat people? Is there other food? What's my
yes?
Like,
there's
what?
Edible chunks.
If you're hungry, you got to eat somebody. Would
Todd,
you do it?
When your plane goes down the Alps and there's a bunch of bodies laying around and you have no choice.
Todd, yeah. Which part do you eat first?
You need to stay alive.
Do you go for somebody? The buttocks because it's fleshy and
like,
sweet?
I feel like there would just have to be a better way.
No, there's no
so
way.
Much of the,
if you want
so
to live,
the
you
world,
have to eat somebody. You went down
so
in
much
the
of the world is colonized. I feel like I could walk in, you know, 50 miles in one direction and just get somewhere.
Just tell us what part you want to eat first so we can move on.
Probably the butt.
Be really
so much fat in there.
He's an ass man.
You want to put that on a button?
I'd rub some barbecue sauce on there and eat it. It'd be delicious.
Where are you getting barbecue sauce?
I brought some with me.
You had
with me. just you were just on, this kind of occasion.
You had two bottles of barbecue sauce this whole time.
Yeah, I'd marinate those butt cheeks in a nice
barbecue
sauce.
Would be so expensive in the future. It'd be like an apple.
Oh my God! Can you imagine how much barbecue sauce would cost?
Yeah,
they don't use any kind of condiments in the future, probably.
Probably
it's just,
not.
Everything's just dry.
Everything's dry, and it's like the flesh from those mutant people's faces.
All right.
Anyway,
so
it's like bacon crumbles or their scabs or
back
something.
To Michael Ironside.
Oh.
I wrote down Michael Ironside knows math. Does anyone know why?
Yeah, because he's a bounty hunter and he doesn't know how much he's going to get paid.
Oh, okay.
So the main story is Michael Ironside has this prisoner that's part of the Red Faction or something weird like that, which mm-hmm. makes her really dangerous. I don't understand that.
And valuable. She's worth something if he turns her in, yeah.
And he has to transport her to Neon City, and that's like his storyline.
And along the way, he does murder a lot of people. And I did notice that in a couple sequences, he cuts some dude's neck, and then he breaks his neck. Like he cuts his throat, and then he breaks it. Like he just double kills him. And then another, like right after that scene, they break a guy's neck, and as his neck is being broken, they punch him in the chest too.
That was cool. It's like lots of overkill action going on.
Yeah,
it's
good.
They probably weren't sure if they got in the first take, so they just kept going.
Yeah.
Did you find it weird how he fell in love with her and like instantly with no like build up to it? It was just like they're in the hot tub and then all of a sudden they're on the ground in the front of the fireplace doing it.
Well, he kind of gave her a look when she was sleeping in the cab of the truck.
Oh, yeah?
It was
like
there was
a man
little
has
something.
Urges look.
Like, huh.
They had no chemistry. I didn't think there was supposed to be any sort of relationship except for that one sequence where they get into a hot tub and it was like, it was on. And
we should talk about the hot tub scene.
Let's talk about the
crazy.
Hot tub.
That was pretty crazy.
I think that might have been the best part of the movie.
I mean, they go into an abandoned building and the only thing in there is a hot tub.
A working hot tub.
And everyone decides to go in and take the plunge. And then there's this crazy montage of each person, like
it's set to the music of "Here I Go Again on My Own."
I didn't
everybody's
understand.
Slowly undressing.
Yeah,
and then there's these futuristic bras, and
what was going to happen there?
Don't
I
forget
what I thought was going to happen.
Don't forget Mr. Miyagi's Tai Chi session.
I was hoping for like a futuristic orgy scene.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
We didn't get it.
I think that's what you got. I think that's what that was.
They didn't have sex, Todd. If you think that's what having sex is, then
it looked like an
there's
got to
be some disappointment
commercial.
Going on over in your household. What?
It said it looked like an Herbal Essences commercial mixed with a baptism or something. That was the weirdest freaking scene.
And it was the longest scene.
Yeah. I mean, talk about things that are out of place in this movie. That scene was pretty out of place.
I guess, like, it was supposed to show how important clean water was to them, because it's been
It looked like milk, though.
I mean,
it
was that important, why wouldn't you just be, like, bottling that shit up and taking it with you?
Except they dirtied it with all of their stankiness.
but they came in, and Michael Ironsides was already naked in the hot tub, like, scrubbing his balls, and they're like, let's all get in, because we, I would never get in that.
Well, and did he test it first? Is that why he, like, that little vial thing that he had? He was checking to make sure it was clean.
We thought he was getting his butthole temperature, but he was probably checking the water.
Would you get in the hot tub if it was someone other than Michael Ironsides? Like, if it was like a, I don't know, like a
Gary Busey?
Gary Busey or
is he cleaning his testicles?
An Arnold?
I'd probably get in for Michael Ironside too. If it was just me and him?
Yeah.
And no one else was around?
With a futuristic bra?
Yeah, I'd probably get it. I'm a little self-conscious about taking my shirt off, but if it's just me and Michael Ironside, I'd probably go with it. I mean, we'd have to listen to Here I Go Again on my own. Otherwise, I'm not getting it.
Can we talk about Ironside's ex-wife and how she fits into all this?
I really don't think she does, though.
No. I didn't really understand the point of her character in the story at all.
But wouldn't it be weird to, like, be there while Mike Ironside's, like, hitting on this other woman and stuff, and you're, I don't know, I don't have an ex-wife, so maybe it's okay.
No,
maybe
that's exactly what you do.
Well, he hits his ex-wife, so he felt perfectly comfortable doing that in front of her. I think that was part of it, because apparently she was sleeping around with everybody, because she was secretly a lady of the night.
But she seemed almost in on it at the beginning with the sheriff guy.
Well, she's been in everything.
I feel like I'm missing something. She was
been in her.
That's right.
What was she in on? What?
She was a whore, man.
I get that.
She was just the whole, like, cranking and
when
ranking.
They tricked him and got him on the transport.
Yeah.
Instead, like, they blew up his truck.
Oh,
I think that's
because
they found out she was coming, right? And he wouldn't want to go along or something like that.
So they're gonna murder him?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. It's gonna scare him a little.
What was the point of this whole freaking movie? I'm lost.
The beginning was confusing.
The most disappointing part of the movie was the fact that it's called Neon City, and we literally get 3 minutes of Neon City, which is apparently just one building with a neon sign above it.
It's a warehouse in Pittsburgh with a neon sign on it. That's what it was. It's beautiful.
And when you walk in, there's a sign. It's white with black letters that says Neon City and a dude sitting there. And that's it. That's all you get.
That was bad.
And it has weird pop art everywhere.
Yeah, that's when you journey in more. It's like a shitty 90s arcade or something. There's like columns and that's it. That's all you do when you're in Neon City.
What did you think about the Winnebago that they were driving?
I thought it looked pretty
cool. We should talk about this thing, because this thing had all kinds of gadgets and stuff.
I thought the
going
set
on.
Inside looked really cool. From the outside, it looked like a piece of shit, but when they showed them inside, it looked pretty sweet.
I thought the outside, it would have been cooler if they had like turnets and guns on it, more of like a military transport vehicle.
Yeah.
So just some crap truck.
Yeah, but it was more realistic that way. It's like somebody just welded on a bunch of metal to a crappy Winnebago, and this was their armored transport.
I think I wanted scenes like in the shootout where people are like on top of the vehicle and stuff like that.
Flamethrowers.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wanted people in football gear and mohawks.
Yeah, we get that.
Assless chaps and stuff like that.
I wasn't having dusters.
Dusters would have been good.
No dusters.
Oh, that's what this movie was missing.
That's the problem. Ironside was not in a duster.
Dusters
he had that pirate shirt going on.
Supremely useful for the apocalypse. We already talked about this, and he had no duster.
It's a problem.
They did have like some elaborate stuff going on during the sequence, the bright sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And the bright is basically just somebody flashing some different colored strobe lights at them, which is probably like the most expensive special effects sequence ever filmed, honestly. But
you mean when they threw the filters in front of the film?
They're all like, put their glasses on, and then
that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. And they.
But they can only go through a bright one time in their travels, because once they go through the sequence, they're done.
Now, I got a question about the bright. Does the bright move around, or is that just like an area that you drive through when you hit it? You know what I mean? Like, they know it was coming, and this was on the map and they were prepared for it? Or is this like something that happens all over the place?
I think it moves.
I feel like it moves around, because if it were stationary, I feel like you would just drive around it.
When they said they can't predict.
Oh, they can't predict it?
Right.
The line was, yeah, nobody knows exactly what it is. It's kind of like a rainbow, a giant magnifying glass in the sky made out of tiny particles of water and pollutants.
Yeah, they shouldn't have used the word rainbow. That's just like terrible writing.
Why?
You're going to associate
No, because it made
like
sense, because
rainbow.
It was all like a bunch of different colors when they were...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the rainbow sounds just... happy.
It was happy. It was fun. It was the most fun part of the movie.
Oh, man.
I thought they attributed it to the ozone layer holes, but that makes no sense, because that would just basically be UV. You wouldn't see anything. You just cook.
Burn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would think they would develop the technology to spot these bright zones.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is you learn later on in the movie that the guy that's on with them is the guy that caused the problem, the bright, which is pretty interesting. Yes. The scientist was there. He made this mistake, but he was trying to solve, you know, other issues, and this is what happened.
And he solves it by creating a laser gun that blows up motorcyclists.
I did like that.
He seems to be an expert on lasers. That was his point about like his creation that ruined the world apparently or whatever.
At the end of the movie, he gets picked up with them and goes off into the sunset together. Isn't that weird?
Where are they headed?
And they're in a Jeep. Like, isn't the Bright just going to kill them instantly driving around in a Jeep?
Maybe that's the plan.
It's a Jeep thing. You wouldn't understand.
The protagonist was originally supposed to be a woman. That's what was written in the script. But the producers got Michael Ironside to play it instead. But what woman would you rather see play the main character?
Circa 1991?
Sigourney Weaver.
Who else? Let's hear it, guys.
A good question.
1991.
My old standby, Roseanne Barr.
Oh. It would be a very different movie.
I mean, would she still be a bounty hunter?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I think of like you have Linda Hamilton as well, but it's like just because those were the women in those movies at the time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like actresses that were really big in 1991. I have no idea.
Uma Thurman.
Winona Ryder. But she would have been like 19.
Yeah, she would have stole so many things off that set.
Where's my goggles?
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah. Sandra Bullock.
Speed. Yeah.
All right. I made a game. It's called Real City or Fake City.
Ooh.
Real City or Fake City.
And the idea is, you tell me if it's a real city or if it's a fake city.
Is this like in the realm of planet Earth?
So, yeah, I mean, well...
Or is this like USA?
It's going to be a real city from the world, and then a fake city from some sort of movie or
the
TV
universe.
Show.
All right.
Big Arm.
Big Arm, Texas.
Real. That has to be like...
Montana?
Yeah, Texas or Canada, maybe. Someplace cold.
I'm going to say fake.
I'm going to go real.
Real city.
Big Arm, Montana.
Montana.
Oh,
Aaron was right. You said that, Aaron.
Did I?
That's awesome.
I said Texas.
Venusville.
What?
What was
Venusville.
That?
Penisville?
That has to, that has
like
to be real because it's so ridiculous.
Venus.
I'm
going to
say
real.
Fake.
Is that from The Adventures of Pluto Nash?
Oh, wow. There's fake. A bad movie.
Fake?
I'm saying real, because everyone's saying fake.
Fake.
It is from Total Recall.
What?
Oh, wow.
How did I not know that?
Hill Valley.
That's got to be a movie city.
Yeah, that sounds like a Western or something. That's fake.
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 It's a trick question. It's both real and fake.
Oh.
That wasn't in the rules,
Chris. Isn't Back in the Future? I know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was like looking up like fake cities, and it was like one of the most popular ones featured in movies. And then I was like, well, this sounds like a real city, too. So then I found it was like a real city, too. So I threw it in there anyways because I hobbled this together in literally minutes. Literally nice. Minutes. Basically nice. The same amount of time the screenwriter for this movie wrote for me. Hazard.
Real.
There's got to be one of those somewhere.
Hazard? I'm going to say it's fake. That sounds like a sci-fi.
That's real.
Made-up name.
Hazard, Nebraska.
Ah.
Helium.
Like the molecule?
Real.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist here.
It's helium? It's an element, not
or
a
element,
molecule.
Sorry,
but,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. That's
it's an element, not a molecule.
Excuse me.
We are not scientists.
We
do not know how these things work.
I'm going to say fake.
Fake as well.
It's from the movie John Carter.
Never saw
Quahog.
Oh, that's real.
That's real.
That's Quahog and it's real.
Oh, yes. It's a Quahog? Yeah. What is it from a TV show as well?
Family Guy.
Marrowbone.
What is it?
What was it?
Marrowbone?
Fake.
Real.
That's probably some Inuit somewhere.
Wow. It is real. Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Cape Side. Oh. That's where Inuits are from.
Cape Side.
That sounds real.
That's real.
Movie.
I don't want to wait, guys.
I don't want to wait.
Fake.
I don't know. For our lives to be over. Nobody knows.
I want to know.
That was the town in Dawson's Creek?
Dawson's fucking Creek. Yeah.
I don't want your life.
All right, that's it. That's Real City or Fake City.
That's Real City or Fake City.
Time to move.
Time to move. Anything else you want to talk about with Neon City?
There's so much to talk about. Neon
there is
City.
A lot to talk about.
We didn't talk about all the other characters on the ride here.
I have a couple bullet points. One was sexy nose-picking scene. Does anybody recall
that? Yeah,
where she flicked her booger at her.
Sorry, I didn't see you there. That's the kind of crap a 2-year-old does.
It's a future man.
That's a power move, is what that is.
Mm,
you
dominance.
Saw that girl was all like prissy.
I'm gonna try that on my wife.
Wasn't gonna be able to stand the van.
I'm
and
take
she's
the power
like,
back.
You know what? Take the power back. Pick my nose, and not only that, flick it on you.
Man, it would take a big ass booger to be able to flick like that, though. She didn't mess around. It was all one action. It was one smooth move.
So dry in that desert.
It is
if you start practicing now, Chris, you'll get
it builds
there.
Up, man.
Yeah, Todd, you're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Builds up that dust.
I could flick one through Skype at you, man.
Yeah.
It was kind of Breakfast Clubby, the characters that they had. Like, they had the prissy girl.
It was.
The jock guy.
Oh, yeah.
The murderer, the rapist, you know.
The bad boy.
Fat Ghostbuster.
It was kind of lame, though. Like, there were so many characters introduced in that one scene. So, like, not too much time was given to any of them to really introduce them as a character. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got a very basic stereotype for each of them.
That worked for one of them because the Xander guy was supposed to be mysterious, but I don't know that worked for all of them necessarily. They didn't really give you much on a couple.
Well, the problem is, too, like, when they first introduce people around the vehicle, they throw that comedy music on, and all of a sudden trying to turn this movie into something else. Like, what was that about? That was ridiculous. Did not fit at all.
And then just when you're getting the hang of it, they break it up with a huge explosion.
And then there's no music for, like, half an hour in the movie.
Well, but then it kind of went back to comedy, and then they're like, Let's take you to these mutant people who have a dying baby, and let's give them pills to kill themselves or whatever.
They should have hired like Axl Rose.
Take me down to a neon city.
Have you seen Axl Rose recently? He's like big and fat. It's like
is he
fat school Rose?
Fat school Rose.
It's like that fat Kilmer.
Isn't that a country group?
Although he's like deathly.
He's like dead now. Yeah, that's what drugs do you?
Or cancer.
The entire movie, they're trying to get to Neon City. We get there, we have 3 minutes in Neon City, and then the movie ends with all of them leaving Neon City.
Yeah.
In a Jeep with no roof.
Yep.
After we're just shown for an hour and 40 minutes how the sun and the gases and everything and the raiders all kill everything. I feel like they were trying to like say something about class or race or something, because they bring up like what was it called, the Jericho, like immigration people, and how they were like
second class putting, citizens.
Yeah, second class, and then they would have like mutants, and they would sterilize people, and like maybe I'm looking too deep into it.
Well, and no, like the one girl that her dad was the like rich guy in Neon City, like she had no idea a lot of this stuff even existed right. until she rode on the transport.
Yeah, they were definitely pushing that a little bit.
She was privileged,
but it didn't say anything besides that.
Yeah.
No, not.
Had
no,
they taken no. that and then had that somehow relate into the story, like they were trying to go stop this mastermind who's creating eugenics or, you know, whatever these class issues, but no, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, this future really sucks, and oh, by the way, there's, yeah. like, shitty people.
And, that, and, like, the end with that girl who, like, didn't understand the struggle that people have, she gets to the city, and she's like, oh, they're like, your dad's waiting for you, and then she's just like, these are my friends. And that then she goes terrible. Off to live an amazing life and
she's
you never
like,
see her again.
Daddy, daddy.
Mad Max meets the Kardashians or something.
They could have killed off more of these characters.
It's Mad Max Vacation.
Considering like how little they developed most of the characters, they should have just used them as fodder to make the movie move along a little bit more interestingly.
Yeah, they did kill off two of them, but they could have killed off more.
Like, and if they're going to stop places, it has to relate to the story. It just can't be randomness like it was. You know, there has to be more of a story arc.
We're at another rest stop.
Yeah. Exactly. Where'd they get gas for this thing, anyways?
This thing can hold so much gas.
When they were at the inn with
like
the mutant,
like you.
They filled up there.
Oh, okay. I missed that. I must have been doing everything else but watching.
You know what's interesting is... never mind, it's not interesting at all.
It's not interesting at all.
That's a tagline for this movie.
Why were those people called skins when they were the most clothed people in the movie? You couldn't even see their faces because they covered their face, too.
Maybe they were deformed.
I think they wore people's skins.
See, that would have been cool. That's an explanation of that.
They like, should have got captured by the skins and been hung up and seen like all these people with their skin being flayed off and stuff.
Oh, man.
Like Ironsides would have had to fight them in like an arena battle. And yeah, all that stuff would have been cool.
Witness his friend getting like skinned alive.
Yes. His wife, his ex-wife.
Oh, that would have been good.
I know.
And she could have like right before it happened be like, I love you.
I still love you, Michael. And she's like, and he's like, I never
loved
you.
He's like, I love you too. But now that you're dead, I'm going to be able to move on. Instead of just like creating that love triangle. I mean, look at all the drama it produced.
I really think the movie needed an antagonist. I think that it should have started with some dude like tracking down that other girl that he was supposed to be transporting. And like, he was following them everywhere. You know what I mean? He was the leader of the skins or something like that.
It would have been fun if he was with them and the whole time he's like constantly trying to like mess up the vehicle so it breaks down or something. Like, you know.
Or if the if the rich girl was important, it could have been like escape from New York in the desert or something where they have to like, get her back keep her alive.
Yeah, she's the president of Neon City's daughter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you streamline the story and you have all this action.
All right, I got it, Chris. I figured out what's wrong. I don't think it's that it needed an antagonist necessarily, because it had one, but his goal...
You say that, but...
No, you know it had an antagonist, but the thing is, the goal that he had nothing to do with the story for the majority
exactly.
of the movie.
It's true.
His goal was for when he got to Neon City, which was quite literally the last 5 minutes of the movie. Like, it's like you guys said. If his goal was instead to keep them from getting to Neon City, that would have provided more fodder the whole way throughout the movie.
Yeah,
he could have
sabotaged them or something.
Exactly, yeah. The fact that the only things he did, he killed the doctor guy. Yeah, he fed the stuff to his ex-wife so that she died when they got to the city. But he didn't have enough of a part in the story as it was running throughout the journey. He only had a part at the end, and that made it really boring.
Well, there was no suspense for the other characters then, because when it's kind of revealed that he's a bad guy, nobody's really surprised.
Yeah.
And there's
it's
no...
like so obvious.
In the last scene that features him, there's no impact. It's just like, well, okay, he's dead. End of the movie. It just felt so pointless. Like, it's such a pointless subplot to the whole movie, but it was pretty much the key to the story. What? Who writes this shit?
Chris, if you could live in the Neon City, Is that the place to go?
I think I'd live in the caves with the mutants.
Yeah, you'd be a mutie.
I'm hideously disfigured already. Fit right in. I'd pick my scabs. There, I'd be picking scabs all day. Living the dream.
Brings you some poison to kill yourself.
Living the dream. Just wait for that poison to end it all.
Oh, man.
AJ, what would you name your sanctuary city in the future?
And
Michael Ironsides is the new president.
Oh, man. My sanctuary city? It needs, like, a badass name, right? How about just Badass?
That's a terrible name. No one would go to Badass. Fucking Badass. AJ, would you recommend Neon City?
I don't know. I'm kind of on the edge with this. And Neon City had some interesting things going on for it, but there was a lot of bad stuff, too. I might recommend it. I mean, if you're a Michael Ironside fan, like so many of us out here on the interwebs, you might want to watch it for a quick minute.
Rebecca?
I don't know. I think I would recommend it just because it did have some good qualities to it. You just kind of need to go take a bathroom break maybe during some of the slower sections and then come back when it
eat a lot of Taco Bell so you can constantly have something
to do. If you have diarrhea but you want to watch a movie.
This is the one for you.
This is the one for you.
If you have to get a colonoscopy tomorrow and you have to constantly be going to the bathroom tonight, then this is the kind of movie you want to watch.
Start this one. Yeah, okay.
Aaron?
This one failed to keep my attention. I'll be honest. I just didn't do anything for me. There was a couple cool scenes, but overall, I did not like it. I didn't really. No. Can't recommend.
Yeah, I'm with Aaron on this one. I cannot recommend this. It was just too boring. I'm not saying there were zero good parts, but it's not worth the investment.
Yeah, it's a good concept. Wasn't really executed that well. I liked some of the actors. Ironside's awesome. He did a fine job for what it was. The movie is way too long. It's like an hour and 45 minutes, and literally you could have cut like 30, 40 minutes out of this movie, and it wouldn't have made a difference or an impact on the story at all.
Easily.
I liked a lot of the elements with the world building, but the basic plot of the movie is non-existent, so it didn't pull me in at all. And because it meanders so much, I started to lose a lot of interest. The action scenes are done well, and they're fun, and if a movie had maintained that kind of tone and just simplified the story to an actual plot that you could follow, it probably would have been more fun. I don't know. And don't call the movie fucking Neon City and show a bunch of Neon City on a cover and then not actually have that in the fucking movie. Should have been called, like, Let's Go for a Ride with Michael Ironside.
I take it back. If it's called that, I'll recommend it.
So, that's all I have to say. Anything else?
No.
Nope. All right. Next week, we are going to watch the 1987 horror movie, The Video Dead, which is about a family who gets a new TV set, signs up for Comcast, and a whole bunch of fucking zombies start coming through killing people.
Oh, man.
Everyone can relate to that, right?
I think I accidentally ordered that package one time from Comcast.
Yeah. So if you like what you heard, go to the iTunes.com/ leave us a review. And until next week, stay out of the sun because you might get burned.
Oh, Ironside.
Thanks for listening to the Bad Movie Night Podcast. If you have any questions or recommendations, send us an email at info@badmovienightpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.